Indiana abortion providers were sent scrambling earlier this month after a leaked Supreme Court draft suggested Roe v. Wade could be overturned. Such a decision would likely lead to abortion being banned or strictly limited in Indiana. Mitch Leagan reports on how advocates are preparing for an uncertain future.
Wednesdays are Jess Marchbank's busy day at All Options Pregnancy Center in Bloomington. The walls are jam-packed with diapers, wet wipes, hygiene products.
And then I'm going to double-check that I gave that last bag wipes.
But packing diaper bags is only part of her role as state programs manager. Marchbank calls the center a reproductive justice center for the area, helping women with all options of the pregnancy process.
I might be handing diapers and wipes out the back door, and then answering emails and texts from people who are seeking abortion funding. And I'm currently fielding 60 to 75 a week for people to receive abortion care.
Her center doesn't provide abortions, just connects people with resources. And she's spending a lot of time on the phone since a U.S. Supreme Court draft leaked a few weeks back.
We have seen a spike in anxiety.
She knows Indiana's Republican legislators have promised to restrict abortion if federal protections are lifted, and that concerns her. But she says, really, it'd just be one more hurdle for Hoosiers currently seeking an abortion.
If Roe is overturned, the same people are going to be struggling the same way that they are now, maybe a little bit harder.
Planned Parenthood characterizes Indiana as a state hostile to abortion. The state allows abortions through 22 weeks, but regulations ensure they almost all happen in the first 13. There are 7 approved abortion centers, most of which are in the northern half of the state. And state law requires 2 separate visits for an abortion.
And then on top of those barriers, they're looking at $500 to $900.
With reproductive rights under threat, Jessica Louise and other advocates have been taking to the statehouse to show support and encourage legislators not to strengthen restrictions.
People who are able to carry a pregnancy should be able to terminate that pregnancy for any reason or no reason at all, simply because they do not want to be pregnant.
Even before the Supreme Court draft leaked earlier this month, 110 Republican lawmakers signed a letter asking the governor to call a special session if the court were ever to overturn Roe. Both Speaker of the House Todd Houston and Senate President Rod Bray signed the letter and declined an interview request to discuss what those restrictions could look like. But they agreed with Republican Governor Eric Holcomb, who says he'll wait for the actual opinion.
Right now, all options are on the table. And I'll wait until I see the final decision, not a leaked draft.
Hoosiers will likely head to Illinois. And abortion providers over there are aware, according to Bridget Leahy with Planned Parenthood of Illinois.
We've been seeing this for a few years. It has been increasing in recent months, and we definitely expect it to rapidly increase once the Supreme Court overturns Roe.
They're expecting anywhere from 2 to 5 times the number of patients they're currently seeing. So they opened 2 of their newest abortion clinics on the Wisconsin and Indiana borders.
Those were decisions made not just on meeting a need here in Illinois, but anticipating a future where people from other states are going to need us more and more.
There were roughly 7,300 abortions in Indiana in 2020. Marchbank says those women will leave the state if they have the resources, or they'll resort to unsafe methods that put the mother at risk.
The most marginalized populations who are already struggling to access care, people who don't have $500 of disposable funds, people who don't have transportation or time off work, those are the people who are most affected now and are going to continue to be.
Back in Bloomington, Marchbank says her job won't change much. She'll just shift more resources to connecting women with abortion funds that would help them travel out of the state and pay for their procedures. For WFIU News, I'm Mitch Leagan.
Hundreds of medical professionals and protesters gathered at the IUPUI campus Wednesday to show their support for abortion rights. Indiana Public Broadcasting's Darian Benson reports doctors who marched said they want to protect their ability to provide evidence-based medicine.
When Repro rights are under attack, what do we do?
Stand up for that!
When Repro rights are under attack, what do we do?
Stand up for that! protesters marched around the medical campus before speakers shared their views on why access to abortion is important for women's health. Among them, Dr. Nicole Scott, OBGYN resident director at Indiana University.
We are healthcare providers, and abortion is healthcare. Anything less than comprehensive abortion care is malpractice.
Abortion is still legal in Indiana. But with Roe v. Wade overturned, the Indiana General Assembly is expected to include an abortion ban during the special session. That's currently scheduled for the last week of July. It's unclear at this point what the ban will include. For Indiana Public Broadcasting, I'm Darian Benson.
The most common second trimester abortion procedure is now largely banned in Indiana. Indiana Public Broadcasting's Brandon Smith reports a federal judge undid her order that had blocked a 2019 state law.
Dilation and evacuation, or DNE abortions, are the most common procedure used to terminate a pregnancy in the second trimester. They're also widely considered the safest. In 2019, Indiana lawmakers banned the procedure unless there's a serious health risk to the pregnant person. That law was halted by a federal judge, ruling it violated rights guaranteed by the Supreme Court's Roe v. Wade decision. A few weeks ago, the Supreme Court overturned Roe, and Attorney General Todd Rokita filed motions to reverse several court decisions that had halted Indiana anti-abortion laws. A federal judge ruled in Rokita's favor Thursday, putting the DNE abortion ban into effect. For Indiana Public Broadcasting, I'm Brandon Smith at the State House.
More Indiana abortion restrictions are likely to be reinstated soon after an appeals court sent a major lawsuit back to a federal judge to be reexamined. Indiana Public Broadcasting's Brandon Smith reports the U.S. Supreme Court's recent decision overturning abortion rights is prompting many cases to be reconsidered.
Whole Woman's Health Alliance filed a lawsuit in 2018 that challenged almost all of Indiana's abortion restrictions. Many of those restrictions were upheld, but last year a federal judge struck down several Indiana laws. That includes a provision that says only doctors can provide medication abortions, one that limits second trimester abortions to hospitals or advanced surgical centers, and a ban on telemedicine for abortion. That ruling got appealed to the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals, and in the wake of the U.S. Supreme Court's recent abortion decision, the Seventh Circuit is sending the Indiana case back to the district court to be reconsidered. The original judge's ruling relied heavily on Supreme Court precedents that have now been overturned, meaning those Indiana laws are likely to be reinstated. For Indiana Public Broadcasting, I'm Brandon Smith at the State House.
Republican state lawmakers want to ban abortion in Indiana with limited exceptions in cases of rape and incest and when the life of a pregnant person is at risk. Indiana Public Broadcasting's Brandon Smith reports Senate Republicans unveiled their proposed legislation yesterday.
Senate GOP leader Roderick Bray says his caucus's goal is to promote more adoption and less abortion. Senator Sue Glick emphasizes the bill will not affect access to contraception or the morning after pill, also known as Plan B.
This bill does not affect treatment of miscarriages, treatment of ectopic pregnancies. It does not affect in vitro fertilization procedures.
But people in states with bans similar to Indiana's proposal have had trouble accessing life-saving medications and treatments that are sometimes used for abortion. Senate Democratic leader Greg Taylor says this is a step back for Indiana.
Just watch when people get a hold of this piece of legislation and find out that we have an outright ban on abortion in Indiana. It's going to get worse.
The first public hearing on the bill is Monday. For Indiana Public Broadcasting, I'm Brandon Smith at the State House.
Hundreds of Indiana businesses have signed a letter in support of abortion rights. It was published just hours after Indiana Republican senators proposed a bill that would ban abortions in the state with limited exceptions. Indiana Public Broadcasting's Sydney Dauphiné has more.
The American Civil Liberties Union of Indiana facilitated the Don't Ban Equality letter in support of protecting the state's abortion rights. Over 200 Indiana businesses signed the letter. Katie Blair is with the ACLU of Indiana.
Restricting access to comprehensive reproductive health care, including abortion, threatens the health, independence, and economic stability of our employees and customers. Simply put, it goes against our values and it's bad for business.
The release of the letter comes just days before a special legislative session when Indiana lawmakers will vote on the abortion legislation. Blair said the ACLU and a handful of business owners plan to testify at the State House. For Indiana Public Broadcasting, I'm Sydney Dauphiné.
Vice President Kamala Harris is expected to visit Indianapolis today. That's according to a senior advisor at Harris's office. Indiana Public Broadcasting's Fair Usury reports the vice president's expected to discuss abortion rights with state lawmakers.
The visit coincides with the start of a special session today, where lawmakers will consider bills that ban abortion, among other issues. The abortion ban includes exception for rape, incest, if the pregnant person's life is at risk, and if the fetus cannot survive outside the womb. Multiple rallies organized by groups on both sides of the issue are set to take place at the State House today. It's unclear if Harris will attend. Earlier this month, the vice president met with representatives from five states with Republican-controlled legislatures, states that are expected to hold special sessions to ban abortion. Indiana House Minority Leader Phil Giaquinta was part of that meeting. For Indiana Public Broadcasting, I'm Farah Yusri.
Legislation proposed by Republican lawmakers in Indiana would ban abortion with limited exceptions, including for cases of rape and incest. Fair Usury reports many health care providers are worried the way the bill is worded will create barriers to abortion services for rape victims.
The proposed bill does not require victims of rape or incest to report the assault to law enforcement, but the exception requires them to provide an affidavit, a legal document signed under penalty of perjury. Providers worry this may deter victims from accessing abortion services.
Our job as physicians is not to be the physician arm of the law.
That's Dr. Carrie Rouse. She's an OBGYN with the Indiana chapter of the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists.
We're here to provide evidence-based, safe health care, and increasing the barriers to that health care is going to decrease the ability of patients to access it.
Rouse's organization and 10 other Indiana health societies addressed a letter to the governor and lawmakers asking them to revise the bill. For Indiana Public Broadcasting, I'm Farah Yusri.
Hundreds of protesters gathered inside the State House today to oppose plans by state lawmakers to ban abortion in Indiana with few exceptions. Ben Thorpe reports protesters gathered on the first day of the state's special legislative session.
For several hours leading up to the rally, chants of "My Body, My Choice" could be heard throughout the State House. Rima Shahid is the CEO of Women for Change, one of a handful of groups, including the ACLU and Planned Parenthood, that helped organize the rally. She opposes lawmakers instituting new abortion restrictions following the Supreme Court's decision overturning Roe.
We won't go back and we won't back down. The Dobbs ruling will impact people of color and people that don't have the privilege of economic stability the most.
Indiana Right to Life, one of the state's most influential anti-abortion groups, is expected to hold a rally on Tuesday. For Indiana Public Broadcasting, I'm Ben Thorpe.
The Supreme Court decision to overturn Roe v. Wade means millions are poised to lose access to abortion services. And the states with the greatest restrictions happen to have some of the highest maternal mortality rates, with major gaps in rural maternity care. April Rickert reports.
If you're pregnant and live in a rural area, you might struggle to access prenatal care. Dr. Anna Banfield saw this firsthand when she worked as an OBGYN in rural West Virginia.
We have a lot of mothers in our country who are suffering because potentially, in many cases, there are breakdowns in the prenatal care system.
Half of all U.S. counties had not even one dedicated OBGYN in 2019. That's according to federal data. And there's concern that pending abortion bans in places already lacking maternal health care resources could mean more pregnancies to come and worse outcomes. Like much of the U.S., Kentucky suffers from a lack of rural OBGYNs. And here, people are twice as likely to die from pregnancy-related causes than the rest of the country. There are nearly 40 maternal deaths for every 100,000 births. Banfield says prenatal care is so important for improving outcomes. That's especially true for people with high-risk health conditions.
We may have a patient who has hypertension. You know, we may have a mother who has a placenta that's inappropriately located and has bleeding outside the hospital that results in hemorrhage that is life-threatening.
She says even people with low-risk pregnancies should have regular checkups. And pregnant people in rural areas have higher rates of conditions like diabetes and high blood pressure.
Oftentimes that means that the number of visits that they are recommended to have can be substantially increased.
While family doctors can provide prenatal care in rural areas, not all do, says Dr. Lars Peterson, a family physician in Kentucky. He's vice president of research for the American Board of Family Medicine.
there's a persistent pattern of rural family physicians in Kentucky are doing prenatal care and delivering babies less than neighboring states and nationally, which could indicate an access problem.
Melissa Egan says there are many additional barriers to care, like a lack of insurance and systemic racism in healthcare. She's a senior policy analyst at the Commonwealth Institute of Kentucky. Egan says doctors often blame patients for not accessing prenatal care, when sometimes it's about a breakdown of trust.
A woman may have seen her provider, and that provider may have expressed something that she perceived as being racist. And she may not want to come to that provider any longer. She may not trust that provider. She may stop using prenatal care altogether or may want to find another provider.
Banfield, the OBGYN, says while the causes are many, the result of low prenatal health care is the same: bad outcomes for patients and babies. And that, she says, is likely to get worse with the overturn of Roe v. Wade.
The post-Roe situation and the issues we have with maternal mortality and the issues that we have with access to care in rural areas of the United States and even some urban areas that are under-resourced are all coming together in a way that is going to make our situation when we are trying to fight a battle against maternal mortality 1,000 times worse.
While abortions are still legal in Kentucky and much of the Midwest, the services are getting harder to come by. Many states are cracking down. In the meantime, OBGYNs like Banfield are sounding the alarm about the potential consequences on pregnant people in rural areas, who are already among the most vulnerable. I'm April Rickert, Side Effects Public Media.
Hundreds of supporters of one of Indiana's most influential anti-abortion groups gathered at the State House today. Indiana Public Broadcasting's Darian Benson reports they urge lawmakers to restrict abortion and increase support for pregnant people.
Protesters chanted "Love them both" at the rally organized by Indiana Right to Life. Indiana Right to Life CEO Mike Fichter says the proposed abortion bill does not go far enough. He wants stronger enforcement provisions.
After 50 years of working and praying and a full reversal of Roe, this legislation is weak and completely unacceptable to the pro-life community.
The group also supports increased financial assistance to pregnant people, young children, and families. The protest included prayers, praising God for overturning Roe v. Wade, and singing. For Indiana Public Broadcasting, I'm Darian Benson.
Indiana Republican lawmakers voted today to force thousands more people to give birth every year in a state with some of the worst maternal and infant mortality rates in the country. Indiana Public Broadcasting's Brandon Smith reports on a near-total abortion ban becoming law.
Abortions would only be allowed if the pregnant person's serious health or life is at risk, if there's a lethal fetal anomaly up to 20 weeks, and in cases of rape or incest, but only up to 10 weeks. Republican Senator Liz Brown says the ban is the culmination of years of battles.
We will always have more work to do because we need to make it unimaginable to end an unborn baby's life.
Democratic Senator Shelley Yoder says women shouldn't have to ask for control over their own bodies.
It's not compassionate. It's not pro-life. It's pro-punishment. Punishment of women who dare to live as freely as men.
Governor Eric Holcomb quickly signed the bill. For Indiana Public Broadcasting, I'm Brandon Smith at the State House.
Politics is spilling into patient care and the way physicians do their jobs, especially when it comes to pregnant people's health. It's a particular struggle for medical residents in states where abortion is likely to be banned. Farah Usri reports doctors who are at the start of their careers during an uncertain time are weighing their options.
It's 7:30 in the morning on a Monday. Young OBGYN medical residents in blue scrubs and white coats hold paper cups of freshly brewed coffee. They pour into an auditorium to meet with their boss, Dr. Nicole Scott.
All right, we'll go ahead and get started.
Scott is the OBGYN residency program director at the largest teaching hospital in Indiana. During these morning meetings, Scott and the residents catch up and share routine updates.
So gyn-onc clinic, I think, for the best patient care and continuity of their results.
Today, they also had to address the elephant in the room.
Any other abortion care questions? I know this is hard on everyone.
How's Dr. Bernard doing?
Bernard is actually in really good spirits. I mean, relatively, just 24/7 security. She has her own lawyer.
They're talking about Dr. Caitlin Bernard. She's an Indiana abortion provider who was the target of attacks from pundits and political leaders on national television. Bernard has been a mentor to the residents, like Beatrice Soderholm.
Watching what she went through was scary. I think that was part of the point for those who were putting her through that, was to scare other people out of doing the work that she does.
And in some ways, it's working. Abortion is still being debated at the Indiana State House. A new law is expected to ban all abortions with few exceptions. And there's still confusion about what that would mean for providers. And that's worrying medical residents, the early career doctors who spend 4 years training to become OBGYNs. Scott, the program director, expects it would impact how the hospital recruits and retains the best doctors. She speaks with a couple of residents at the hospital in between cases.
Did you watch any of the Senate hearings on Saturday?
Oh, no, I wasn't able to.
So, I mean, it's to the House now, so the House can make more amendments, but I think
Dr. Wendy Tian has one more year to finish her training here. She came to Indiana because the program has a strong family planning focus. She's been open to practicing in Indiana after her training, but that's changed.
I always thought I wanted to do family planning. I'm now thinking about doing like something else. I know I want to incorporate it still, but I for sure don't know if I would be able to stay in Indiana post-graduation just with like what's going on.
Tian says the state already had a complicated medical climate.
We encounter other people who we work with on a daily basis who are opposed to what we do. That includes anesthesia, that includes nursing, that includes administrative people.
Still, program director Scott says the OBGYN residency here has provided trainees with comprehensive experience, which included robust abortion care and family planning. But with changes to state law, this is likely to change soon. And that concerns Scott, because taking away abortion
dramatically reduces the volume of what obstetricians and gynecologists can learn.
And it won't just affect abortions, but also management of miscarriages, because both need the same set of skills. One way the Indiana program may overcome that is to send residents out of state to places without abortion restrictions. But organizing that additional training will be a logistical nightmare, says Scott. It's given residents like Beatrice Soderholm a lot to think about. She will complete her training in a few months and start practicing. She grew up in Minnesota, where abortion is less restricted, but she's felt a strong connection to her underserved patients in Indianapolis. She was certain she wanted to practice in Indiana, but lately, family in Minnesota have asked why she would stay.
I've had to think about it. There's been hesitation in that decision, but it's really, it's hard to leave. Sorry.
She's decided she'd likely stay. The same can't be said for other young doctors. I'm Farah Yusri, Side Effects Public Media.
Governor Eric Holcomb largely dismissed any impact Indiana's near-total abortion ban will have on attracting and retaining businesses and talent to the state. Indiana Public Broadcasting's Brandon Smith reports Holcomb spoke to reporters for the first time since he signed the abortion ban into law.
Holcomb acknowledged that some companies might avoid Indiana entirely because of its abortion ban, but the governor insists the state is well-positioned to continue adding jobs and investments.
It's because of access to talent, and we have that access to talent. We had it yesterday, we have it today, and we'll have it tomorrow.
Holcomb says he signed the ban because it met his threshold of progress.
It's progress towards valuing the sanctity of life and expressing it through law.
Holcomb says he anticipates further debates and changes to the law in the future, but wouldn't say what kind of changes he'd like to see. For Indiana Public Broadcasting, I'm Brandon Smith at the State House.